I just want to encourage all of you, if you want to stick with us through this study on Proverbs, I think you'll get blessed. Not that I'm a super wise guy. And I've been able to be blessed by the Lord, travel around the world, have dinner literally with kings and prime ministers and governors and leaders, and go into war zones and help people and do all sorts of things. Preach the gospel to hundreds and hundreds of thousands and see tens and tens of thousands of people come to the Lord. It's not because I have anything. But the Lord, when you submit to Him and surrender to Him, will take who you are and accept that, and He will begin changing you inside if you'll let Him. And it's not easy. It's painful. Because we die to ourselves. And the Bible says we should die to ourselves. So think it through. If you're going to die to yourself, you're going to feel a little bit of pain seeing your old nature go that you've loved since you were 3 years old or 2 years old with your tantrums. And all of a sudden, He gets formed inside of you, and you come to the full stature of Christ Jesus, and you're mature inside. He can use you more and more, but then the stakes get a little higher, and He uses you in different ways. You need God's wisdom. And here's what I have found really great about the book of Proverbs and God's wisdom in general, is that it helps you hear and see and feel like they hear and see and feel in this other dimension that's real close to us that we recognize as heaven. There's a whole life going on within arm's reach almost. At the same time, on this planet, for some reason, there's a physical manifestation and spiritual manifestation of some huge war, global war, that is going on. And we have been trained to look at famine and war and disaster and destruction, murder, rape, you name it, ways that lives get destroyed and damaged as real physical things that happen. But it wasn't designed to be like this when the Garden of Eden was here and Adam and Eve were first here. So all of this is happening because there's a spiritual war going on. And the inhabitants of this planet, you and I, are under the power of a really powerful, wise, intelligent being, unless we break from His power and let our Creator put His power in us and work through us, and we realize we're in a war zone wherever we are, in the most placid setting in Hawaii. There's spiritual warfare going on. So Proverbs can click something in your soul and spirit that allow you to say, I never looked at it that way before. I've never heard that before. I've never seen that before. And all of a sudden, you'll start hearing the voice of wisdom, and your decision-making processes will change. That's one of the biggest things I saw immediately within 2-3 years of walking with the Lord, was my decision process was making better decisions. And it was bad decisions hooked into deep pride and self-preservation that got me to where I was. But the minute I began to die to that and let it go and then trust His word, then I would think in a new way and make a decision, and all of a sudden a new life started unfolding. So I wouldn't want you to think that I'm even purporting to be a wise, super intelligent, hyper spiritual person. I'm adult. I love the Lord and He loves me. So I would hope that if you could get portion of what I've got out of the Proverbs by the simplicity of them, that God would honor you and bless you for studying them. Lord, I pray again for my friends that make up this group of people, this congregation. We know we're not a big corporation or organization. We're people that like to come together to an old junior high campus and sit down and sing and shake hands with people, meet people and make friends and study the word and pray and reach out around the city and the country and the world and do phenomenal things with You. And we need Your wisdom to continue going on. We need Your wisdom as a group, and not just as onesies and twosies. We need You to speak to us all, Lord, that we would all be wise people honoring Your kingdom. We would be virgins with lamps that have a lot of oil so the light will shine brightly all night till the final destination, that we won't be foolish virgins that run out of resource in the oil and in the light. And you would say to us, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. Lord, we don't want to just hang around a church or hang around the body of Christ or hang around the throne. We want to be one with you. So please give us your wisdom. Even begin opening understanding in our hearts right now and revealing to us your plan to each of us as individuals, that we could love you more and be more conformed in your image. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, let me read to you verses 1 through 9 in the King James, the New King James. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of King David. That's chapter 1. We saw that Sunday morning. We know who the author is. And then we knew from the rest of his introduction of why he wrote the Proverbs. He wrote the Proverbs so that the people that were under his authority that lived in Israel, that his people would learn how to live. The only way we know how to live is by what we've been taught in the home and what we've been taught outside the home. Now, in our generation, we've been taught by what has been in the home, family, what has been outside the home. But we've been invaded with technology in so many dimensions that we're able to take all these airwaves and either get them on a cell call, a text message. You know, there's just so much coming through and we're tagging it all. And our minds are being trained in many, many ways without us knowing it. So our ethics and our moral levels have dropped, which means our defense mechanisms to hold on to the things that are good has weakened. So he says, there's a way to live, and if you'll take heed to these proverbs, you're going to really see what living is about. So if you just say to the Lord, give me wisdom, the Lord will give you wisdom. But there'll be a reason he gives you the wisdom. You know, to know good and not to do it is a sin. And so for any human being to say that they're a Christian and see a need and have the ability, as you'll see in the Proverbs, and you don't take your resource or your ability and help that person in need, then you've actually sinned. And for your neighbor to come to you and say they have need and you turn them away, that's wrong, he says. So understanding and wisdom and knowledge come to you, and you may not be a physicist and you may not even understand physics, but if the Holy Spirit has you in a position that you are with some people that are speaking even a language different than your language, wisdom and knowledge and understanding click on, and you would understand and be able to represent God's kingdom. Ultimately, you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We represent his kingdom, not our kingdom, not the world's kingdom. So if you want wisdom, he will give it. But once you get it, you don't hold it to yourself and say, man, I'm going to make a lot of money knowing these kind of things. No, you do it to say, Heavenly Father, what do you want me to do now? And then it increases your faith. And when your faith increases, you're spending more time in the Scriptures, because faith, Romans tells us, comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear except the Word be preached? And how shall the Word be preached except a man be sent? So God sends preachers with the Word, so audiences can hear with their ears and receive. Their faith grows. He ignites it with the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And all of a sudden, your life is zeroed in. This is why I'm alive. Does it mean that you're a robot? Absolutely not. Are you a clone? Absolutely not. Do you have no feelings, no emotions? Can you not have fun? Do you have to wear funny hairdos, dress up strange? Do you have to do things to prove that you're religious? Absolutely not. But the wisdom is something that will just light up your path and help you as a person get closer to the Lord, but see how much he loves other people and he'll use you. So the first part starts out saying, this is why I wrote him. This is what's going to happen. You're going to learn how to live. Second part, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. There's the words again. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. So you want to be upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, so you want to be upright. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. That's you. And then, there's the word then again, you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. So here's what we have, just to help you kick off here. Third page is chapter 2, and a place on the next page over for notes that you can take some highlights, put some of your own thoughts, write down some verses that are going along in chapter 2 in your mind, go back to them later. But in these first 9 verses, we see basically 8 imperatives. And I looked at these and I saw that it's interesting that God is asking you to do action, but he's also saying he's doing action. He's moving on your behalf, but he's asking you to move on your own behalf too, and he will respond to you. So these imperatives, as you look at them, actually end up revealing our responsibility to God. If we'll do this, then God will release this, this, and this. If we do this, then... So he's teaching you, this is what you can expect. This is the payoff for you doing this. This is what's going to happen in your life. So I want you to notice how each word brings us as individuals closer to God that we take a look at this evening and through this study, and how we become active in pursuing the Lord. It's your heart that he's just drawing you to him. He's drawing you to him. And he wants you to find him. So he says, if you receive. The word receive is the word that means that they would use take a wife. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? It'd say to the groom. It's the same word. Are you receiving something? It means to lay hold of. You want this, you're going for it, you've got a hold of it, and it means to acquire. So what he's asking you to do is grab a hold of these words. If you receive my words, if you take these words seriously, and when a man receives a woman as his wife, he takes her with commitment. And it's long term. And maybe our society is acting differently, but you all know, you're smart enough. It's a long term commitment, because with our own lips we say, until death do we part. So we have to be very cautious that we say, oh, I've memorized all these verses. I've memorized this whole book. I do these things. No, he's saying you make a commitment and this is what's going to happen. You have to surrender yourself. It's a time commitment to receive the words of the Lord. So if you lay hold of them, and then the second thing he says for us here is that you treasure my commands within you, or you hide your commands within you. Some of your translations have the word hide, some have treasure, but it literally means to hide a treasure. He's not talking about just hiding it away and say, oh, let me write that down, Mike, and I'll... That's a good one. I like that one. That could really work for me tomorrow. I've got a meeting and this person really needs to hear that. He's not saying that. It's a treasure. These words are going to be extremely valuable to you. So you think of your valuable things. You don't leave a Rolex watch out in the open. You don't leave a diamond ring or a tennis bracelet with 5 carats of diamonds on it at the table at the restaurant when you go into the women's room or the men's room, say, oh, I'll be right back, I'll leave that here, and other people are talking. If it's something that's really precious and valuable, you have a special place you hide it. So the word hide means to hide a treasure, or it also means to treasure up. You're putting it with more treasure. So you're treasuring it up. You're putting it in a safe place. And we put treasures in secret places, and your heart is probably the best place. Now, that's important for you to realize that it's not just, oh, I'm going to memorize some verses and I'm going to be smart. No, these are things that are going to go with you in 5 years, 10 years, if the Lord should tarry, 20 years. Boy, they're going to take you the next step. They're going to help you, and they're going to come back here and bless you. So grab a hold of this and then put it in the safest place you know, and that's your heart. And that's why Jesus said, guard your heart, because out of it come the issues of life. And a man, you can know who he really is. From the lips proceed the abundance of the heart. So you're sitting having coffee at the grind or something, and this person you're with just is spewing bitterness. Well, that's who they are. That's what's in their heart. Even if they claim to be a Christian, they're bitter people. And the words that you're supposed to hold on to say specifically in Hebrews, let no root of bitterness spring up within you. So it tells us, wisdom tells us, bitterness has roots and it plants itself and it goes down deep. They can be with us since we were kids. And then they show up in our teen years and we water it. And then the bitterness pours up and we get angry, we get in fights, we lose friends, we have to prove we're right. Bitterness just shows up its ugly fruit in so many ways. So when Jesus said, you know, from the lips proceed the mouth, that's how you know who you're really talking to and the character of a person. They said that? I mean, how cheesy. Or how shallow. How glib. How self-serving. I mean, that's what they really said. That was really self-serving. They don't really care about people. They really care about position. They don't understand. And when you guard your heart, we had already read in the first 9 verses that one of the things God will do for you is he will guard something for you. So Jesus says, guard your heart. So now you put these words that are going to help you, you guard them. They're under lock and key. Because out of this heart that you have come the issues of life. And this is where you're really going to shine or you're going to blow a fuse, one of the two. So he tells them in verse 2, incline your ear so that you incline your ear to wisdom. So that would tell us that you're hiding the treasure and you're receiving the word so that. So now if you do these two things, it's going to allow you. It's like you just got a Christmas present and you have to put this together and you're reading the instructions. It says, okay, put A connected to B. And when you get A and B connected, this is so that you can connect C. So if you will receive, acquire, get, and hide the words of wisdom, it will make you able to now function by inclining your ear to hear and understand wisdom. So wisdom has been here all your life. It's just that you haven't had the ability to incline your ear and say, that's wisdom. That's really wise. That makes a lot of sense. And it wasn't just some words. That was wisdom from on high. And so, you and I are on a hostile planet. We're in an environment. I'm not talking left-wing, right-wing, Republican, Christian, Democrat. I'm not talking that. I'm talking spiritually for eternity. It's a hostile planet towards anything to do with the living God that created it. And we don't have the equipment and the tools to understand it in the human nature. And the propaganda machine is so enormous, there's no way we can get beyond it. So we have to be able to incline, and that's a free will, that I'm going to start listening. I'm going to start paying attention to wisdom. I've connected A and B so that C is going to work, and then D plugs in and apply your heart to understanding. So there's two things I can do. I can incline and I can apply. I can incline my ear to wisdom and I can apply my heart. I'm going to say, this is a stupid TV show. Now, maybe a week ago, you would have sat and watched the whole hour and 60 minutes, 40 minutes that are left. Oh, man. And inside, you're sitting and saying, this is such a stupid show. I can't believe I'm watching. But you're bored. Well, wisdom says, change the channel or shut it off. So you drain time and energy. And that's really the only thing you have is time. And every second ticks away. And we're held accountable for our time in the end. So I want to know what I can do. Well, I can now do this because I have received and hidden and as a treasure in my heart these words from the Lord. It has allowed me now to want to listen, to incline, and then to apply my heart to understanding the words that I'm hearing. Okay, I want to go after this. I want to really know this. So then in the third verse, he tells us, yes. So this is, we all understand yes. That's a great positive. If you cry out for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding. So discernment and knowledge would be the same word that could be translated there. But if you cry out for it, God, I want to know. Now we're told that his ways are higher than the heavens are from the earth, from our ways. How could we know him? He's so far away. But if we cry out, we want knowledge. We want the knowledge of the Most High. And then he says, seek me and you'll find me. And I'm hiding in this book. And we put the book down. We're not very wise. But if we cry out to him, and then we apply the understanding, okay, and then we lift up our voice for understanding, God's going to do something. But how are we going to do this? And he tells us in a metaphoric way or a simile, if you seek after her as silver and you search for her as for hidden treasures. All of us know silver. I forget what silver is trading at now, 16 or bucks an ounce or something, and it was a few years ago at $2 an ounce, and gold shot up to over 1,000, and it's dropped down to 8, but it was at 200 and something, just around 9/11, and people made billions of dollars off of gold and silver, and there's people that seek after it, and we know there's a cost and there's a value to a commodity. And so the Lord is saying, if you want a commodity that's really worth something, put all the energy of your spreadsheets and your stock brokerage and your computer program and your investment portfolio, take all of the energy that you would to have retirement or get wealth and put that into these words. Go after it. Because the rewards and the payback are going to be beyond anything you can understand. Peter, as a fisherman, we have no idea if he graduated from university or had a high IQ or low IQ. But he said as a fisherman, Lord, we've left our houses and our families and our businesses for you. What about us? And Jesus said, Pete, in this world, you will receive 100 times back that which you've given, but in the world to come, you'll receive eternal life. Now, there are really no 100% returns on investments, or we'd all leave right now and go make a couple, right? And there just isn't. But when he said that, he was saying, get the idea that if you're giving your life to me and committing like a treasure, and you're going to go out and serve people and love people and help people and give my words of truth and my Father's kingdom to people, and you're going to end up dying to yourself, and you're going to give yourself away so you can pick up your cross and follow me. In this world, he actually said you'll have 100 mothers and fathers and homes to go to. And as a member of the body of Christ, we have millions of people we can go around the world and visit and see and stay with. But in the world to come, and that's where it really pays off, is eternal life. So now he's telling you, it's not just words, it's not a religion, it's not just something you're going to memorize and be very clever and say, I'm really wise because I can quote this. He's saying, you're really wise because you have now inclined your ear, you've cried out because now you see it, and now you're looking for the knowledge to interpret all this and to live the way you should be living. And that's got an eternal value to it. It's more valuable than anything any one of us own in this room or anything combined that we would have. But we need to put more of our heart into seeking his wisdom and word and knowledge and understanding than we do surfing the internet or texting people or hanging out at the newest movie that comes out. Because that's what we're showing the world, the flesh, and the devil, is where our time is going, and what we're crying out for and what we want is more important than the things that God has set before us that he wants us to discover. So cry out after knowledge, lift up your voice, and search her as hidden treasures. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. He gives wisdom. There's an old saying, be wise in your own eyes. Or don't be wise in your own eyes. You all heard that before? Wise in your own eyes? You're wise in your own eyes? There's a book out that's an interesting little book. It's called Where'd That Come From? And it has all these little sayings in it like, where in the world did that come from? And Isaiah is where it actually came from. And we've grown up with that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But here's what Where'd That Come From had to say about that little statement. God pronounced woe on those who are wise in their own eyes. Isaiah 5:21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So you start thinking too self-centered and too much about yourself, and you start looking down at other people, and that you're better than other people, you're smarter than other people, you're more clever than other people, I'm going to control these people. It's always about you coming out of it, then woe is the word that comes before that, that you're wiser than everybody else, smarter than everybody else. So God pronounced woe on those who are, quote unquote, wise in their own eyes. And when God says woe, it means trouble and anguish is not far away. So this expression is descriptive of those whose wisdom is based on their own opinion of themselves. So when you think of that, wise in your own eyes, oh, I'm wise in my own eyes because I figured this out. That's based on your opinion of yourself. And somebody died for you on a cross because yourself is unstable and yourself is going to disintegrate and be nothing someday. So when you take this attitude, God, I'm through playing. I want to just spread my arms out before you. I want to lie before your throne. And I want to understand and know. And I cry to you tonight that I could hear you and lean my ear. You'd open up whatever it is that makes my soul and spirit understand and have knowledge. That I could glorify you being a new person in Jesus Christ. So in verse 5, if we do, he says basically, if we do, as he suggested in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, he says the word then. Could you circle the words then? Because this is the payoff. This is you turn the ticket in, you get the reward. This is you. You've done what the teacher asked. You got the B plus or the A minus. You got the grade you're looking for. This is the driving instructor of the DMV saying, hey, you did a good job. You get your license. This is the gold trophy for winning the championship. If you'll do what has been spoken of in four verses, then heaven now works in your life. He will do this for us. You will understand the fear of the Lord. Number two, and you will find the knowledge of God. If you'll just do these things, that simple thing, to cry out, incline your ear, receive, hide, lift up your voice, then he's going to open up a world that you've never known before. He will do this for you. Now, last February, I started praying, God, I want to know you more than I've ever known you. I don't understand some of the things going on. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to seek you. I'm trying to do what I thought you asked me to do. There's a lot of pain. What's going on here? And I said, I just want to know you. I want to know you more. And little did I know that just within weeks of that, he said, okay, that he had dropped me on the rock and break me in half. Take my home, take my salary, take everything, and say, okay, now just trust me. Just start praying and ask me to pay you. Ask me to take care of your health. Ask me to look after you and find you a place to rent. Ask me to look after your children and your wife. And let's just see what I can do. There's a whole world that's just around us that we're missing because the devil so subtly takes people and they think, oh, I'm a new person now. And he makes it look so good. And then all you do is carry the world along. And there's no fear of God. There are very few churches you can walk to on Sunday morning where the seats are all filled and people are there before the service starts. They come 40 minutes after it started. There's very few churches where everybody always gives or prays. People don't really love God. It's part of a cultural situation. And that means there's no fear of God that we can have as a sign of the end of the world that Paul taught. In the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. And the power thereof, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. If you do this, then this is what's going to happen. But the minute we start asking God, hey, I want to know you, I want to understand you, I want a little knowledge, I want a little wisdom, and he starts saying, okay, well then, let's change some ways that you think. And let's remove some things that are props. And let's deal with this. And let's remove that. And let's reveal this. And let's show you what's going on here. And then all of a sudden, we panic. And we say, don't you know the boat's sinking? Can't you see we're perishing? Well, hold it. You said you were my disciple and you wanted to walk with me. I'm not afraid to go across a lake in a storm. What are you all freaked out about? Yeah, but. Because we haven't died to ourselves or picked up our cross in reality. So if you will just do these simple things that we just looked at, there's a promise. This is when it'll happen. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and then you'll find the knowledge of God. So when you do cry out to him, it's a frightening thing. But I have learned in the last 11 months, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 pretty well. And he has shown me, well, this is what you ask for. And then I said many times, I didn't know it would be uncomfortable. And I didn't know there would be pain involved and suffering and just seeing things that are just overwhelming. God, I didn't know that. I thought it was something else. And look what he said. And you all know this. I've shared it several times in the last 3 months. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9:23, let not a wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me. You could glory in, well, I graduated magna cum laude. I graduated the top of my class. Ooh, I'm the number one tough guy. And the World Federation of Not Guys Out in Cages. Oh, I'm the richest guy at the party. Oh, I own more property than anybody. Oh, I have more friends than anybody does. Oh, no, don't glory in anything. But if you want to glory and you want to say, hey, I'd like to tell you something. I really know and I really understand God. If you're going to glory about anything, this is what you want. And that's not just a verse in the Bible. This is God himself that is in the room talking with us. I want you to know me and I want you to understand me. But you have built up something that's not real and your world isn't real. And it's all got comfort zones in it. There's lazy boys everywhere in your life, hidden, that you just run to them and suck your thumb when things aren't going right. But you don't call out on me and say, oh God, help me know and understand. Oh God, reveal yourself. Oh God, help me. It's about you and God. It's about you just knowing him and loving him and tap dancing with him and throwing the frisbee and jumping and laughing and giggling and crying and telling him what you need to tell him. Having your heart open to him. God's bigger than anything. So I like it. I really like what he just starts the Proverbs out. And all the years I've read the Proverbs and loved the Proverbs, understanding knowledge, understanding knowledge. Chapter 2 is all about understanding and knowledge. And then he says in Jeremiah, if you want to have some glory in your life, glory that you understand me. Okay, well, I know you, and I want to know you more. But then when you look at Jeremiah, he always puts commas in there. Let him glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord. Exercising loving kindness. Christmas tree is kind of loving kindness deal, I think. But I was angry when I had to have back surgery. God, why are you doing this? I'm a good guy. I do so much. Come on. I was scared to death. And then for the failure to come, and 5 days later, I'm back in the hospital, and they're cutting me again. That was living hell. It was just hell. What have I done wrong? You said you wanted to know me. Yeah, but I don't want to understand you, why you do things. I just want to know you. And God wants you to know him and understand him. I'm the Lord. Exercising love and loving kindness and judgment and righteousness and in the earth. These I delight in, saith the Lord. So he's not delighting in what we do for him or what we've done for him, what we don't give him or what we do give him. What he delights in is loving kindness, righteousness, and justice being spread throughout the earth in every person's life. That's what he delights in. So if I want to know and understand him, wisdom says, find out what he likes. He likes justice. He wants things to be well balanced. He likes loving kindness. He likes to do little things for people that are frightened and scared. He's looking for people who are watching their mommies and their daddies die, or they just were told they have cancer, or whatever that is hurting them and they're afraid of. He wants to help people that are being crushed by somebody else. He wants to help people that are just lonely. And he's looking for vessels like you and me that would say, my life is yours, my agenda is yours, my soul is yours. There's really no reason for me to be alive. To make something and feel good about it? That's not why we're alive. But to transfer what we know and understand about him to our spouses and to our children and pass them to our neighbors and our friend in our city, our country. He likes that. He likes to hear that you would tell somebody else that God is a loving God when you just heard them in some parade protesting, down with God. And you stand and say, no, I've tasted that the Lord is good. I've seen his loving kindness. I know that he deals justly. He's not a respecter of persons. Everybody has to stand before him. No matter who they are, there are no superstars. We all will stand before him. And righteous. He loves righteousness. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. So if we do, then you'll understand. If you do, then you will find the knowledge of God. So I want to know him. And it may be that in knowing him, your best friend's going to spread rumors about you. You can get a knife in the back. And you want to lash out and come out of your treasure chest with bitterness and anger. Well, hold it. Didn't you just hide wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and truth, and spiritual things in the secret place of your heart? So what should come out would be forgiveness, righteousness, meekness, gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering. This really hurts. This really, really hurts. Long-suffering, but it really, really hurts. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and no matter what anybody says or does, you don't defend yourself. You can defend yourself if you want. The Lord will let you, but you'll have a pretty weak defense. Long-suffering. You want to know God or you wouldn't be here. He wants you to know him. And he wants to take you in his arms, and he is so big. It's a fearful and an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if you wake up one night and you're going, whoa, what's that? A nostril. Whoa, you asked me to love you. He's just trying to love. Yeah, but I'm freaking. Well, I know. You're just made out of dust. You're nothing. Well, I am something. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Okay. He wants you to understand him. That though you are nothing, he loves you so deeply that he wants to spend forever with you. And your childhood hurts and pains, your flip-flops of your teen years, your goofiness of your 20s, and your mistakes as an adult are all washed and cleansed so that you can know and understand him because he loves you so much. He didn't do all of that to make you a churchgoer. He did it so you could hang out with him, so no flesh can enter into the light, but you are a spirit, and he wants you to have the fullness of Christ living inside of you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would unleash this wisdom. Father, that the woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes would hit us hard, that we would not ever be wise in our own eyes or look at other human beings as inferior to anything we would know, or we would fear other people and think they're superior. May you give us verse 4 as a living feeling that we would seek like silver and we would search like a treasure. It would mean so much to us, our time, our effort, our brains, our knowledge. Everything would be like we're going after the most valuable thing. Would you help us cry after knowledge? Oh God, let me know, let me see. Help me, God, I want to know you. Lord, that we would lift up our voices to you. Help us apply our hearts and lean our ears to get understanding and knowledge. Help us be honest with ourselves and honest with you. And God, provide everything for each one of us. That we wouldn't look to the world or a person. We would look to you. And if a sparrow falls to the ground and dies, and you notice that little birdie, how much more valuable are we? And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. The news of the world is war, famine, earthquakes, death, things are falling apart, and you have said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go that I may prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. And if I go, I shall come again to receive you unto myself. Lord, you've promised that to us. But we're so tied with the vibrations of the world, we need you to break that from us. That because the world is in trouble doesn't mean you're in trouble. Because the world is collapsing doesn't mean your kingdom's collapsing. Because the world is bankrupt doesn't mean you are. May you pour out your abundance of your abundance on these men and women. And may the graciousness of your knowledge and the goodness of your understanding be unleashed. And may we fall fresh in love with you and walk with you. And you said the people that love the Lord will do great and mighty things through Daniel. And there's a man who saw the great and mighty things. May you take these people that sit with the word open and do great and mighty things for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.